This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this message entitled, What Would Jesus Think?, Pastor Scott explains five practical ways in which we can transform our minds in a way that we can not only think more like Jesus, but act more like him. This message was delivered on April 23rd, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope! How's you guys? Anybody watch the Merry Monarch from beginning to end? Just a few. How many of you went to all the craft fairs? Just a few. Yeah, it's really happening. Yeah, in town. I was like, wow. Every place is just extra crowded, so I kind of just stayed away from town. I just stayed at my home and did stuff. My wife left early yesterday morning, and she came home like. Five. It's like, what do you do all day? I think she hid all the bags in her trunk until I went to sleep. But I know she had a good time, and she left me alone to go cut up some wood and get all dusty and dirty, which I had so much fun, so I had no problem with that. But I'd like to welcome you this morning. Well, last week was a wonderful week. We celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. Wasn't it great? Every Easter is so great. I see friends that come back and they visit us again. They come from other churches, or they just come because it's Easter. And it's so nice to see them. Even if it's like once or twice a year, I just love to see them and I miss them. But, you know, we learned about the resurrection. We learned about God's grace. Now, this week, WWJT. You might think, what would Jaywin think? But we don't want to know what Jaywin would think, because I hang around with him, and when his workers are 10 minutes late and they call him up, say, I'm going to be 10 minutes late, he tells them, you know what? I don't need you today. Just go back home. And I was like, oh, I don't want to know what he thinks. So it's, what would Jesus think? Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't you like to know what Jesus would think? Wonder what he's thinking about me now. I don't know. I don't want to know, because, you know, when I was a young kid, in fact, when we first came to this location, we first started our church, I think almost all the kids, including me, got one of those caterpillars from those trees. I mean, we all did that, and then we took it home, and I watched the caterpillar, I eat the leaves, and made the cocoon, and came out a butterfly, and I was like, wow, I'm always so amazed at what happens in that period. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am just like thrilled. When I was a kid in elementary school, this is what I would do. And I don't think your kids do that now, but I would catch those pollywogs. You know those big tadpoles, the one that turns into frogs? And my daughter hates frogs. But I used to catch those, and I used to bring them home. And I used to put them in my fish tank or put them in my bucket. And I used to watch them. You know, the back legs would pop out. The tail would shrink slowly. Then the front legs would pop out and the tail would be gone. And next thing you know, I have a frog. And I would have a pet frog. I used to hold that pet frog in my hand. I used to pet it. I used to kiss it. And I used to, yeah, I know. Frog legs, yeah. But I just enjoyed watching this thing transform. And it was so amazing. You know, I was just thrilled. I don't know if you guys are thrilled with seeing things transform. Well, I am. I mean, I look, you know, I had my house for, what, some 27 years. And over the 27 years, I did things. I transformed the bathroom. I'm not finished with it. I transformed the kitchen. I'm not finished with it. I transformed the hallway, the living room. I'm not finished with that yet. I transformed the patio. I'm not finished with that yet. So I'm transforming a lot of things that's not finished yet. It's in a work in progress. A couple years ago, Jaywin did my truck. It transformed that. Oh, I love it. My truck was white. It was dirty white. Because I never washed it enough, it got stained. And it was just, no matter how hard I wash it, how hard I polish it, it was just a dull, dirty white. And Jaywin got a hold of it one Thanksgiving, and he transformed it, and it's nice. And now, people tell me, wow, your truck is nice, funny, but when it was white, nobody said anything about my truck. Not a word. But now it's blue, everybody's like, wow, this is a nice truck. It was transformed. Some of you like seeing, you know, your wardrobe transform. I know my wife would love to see her wardrobe transform. Some people would like to see your house, your hair, maybe your makeup, whatever. I mean, I would love to see my garage transform. Some people, you know, like to see, I mean, I would like to see my health transform from what it is to better, because, you know, I'm not the healthiest person around. I mean, if we made a list of things that I want to see transform, what would be on the top of that list? How many of you would say your life? I mean, I would love. I mean, my life is being transformed. But some of you may say, oh, I'd like to see my car or my house, my bathroom transformed into something nice, something better. And I think if you were to ask Jesus, what would he like to see transformed the most? And I would think that he would say, I would like to see lives transformed. And that's what we try to do here at New Hope East White. We try to get people to understand what accepting Jesus Christ is. We try to teach them what it means to follow Jesus and to equip them to be fruitful. I mean, when we talk about transformation, there's a few things before we start that I really would like to clear up. And couple of those things is justification and sanctification. If someone was to ask us, how long would it take for me to become a Christian? We'd say, like, well, as long as you pray and accept Jesus, you're Christian. Just a moment. That's justification. Just as we have never sinned. And justification, all right, when we say yes, it's a one-time bang thing. You can circle the date on your calendar. This is the day. Of course, for me, my memory is short, so I do not remember the day that I said yes, but I remember I did say it, just for you guys can know that I am a Christian, I follow Jesus, just so you know that I'm not no crazy maniac preaching Jesus when I haven't accepted him. No, I have, but as for memorizing, I sometimes forget my own birthday. The other year, I thought I was 52 when I was 53. It's like, shoot, I missed a year. Boy. Thank God it was me, yeah? Because if it was my wife or my kids, oh, I'd get it. I'd be living in somebody's doghouse. But justification. Just as if I had never sinned. When we accept Jesus, he justifies us. It's powerful. It's miraculous. It takes a moment, changes everything. And then comes sanctification. And that is a process. God is continually at work within us, molding us into the image of Jesus. It's not only a process, but it's like a partnership. And here's the thing. God doesn't force it on us, right? It's kind of like we accept Jesus, we're justified. Now the ball's in our court to make sure that we are sanctified in the process, day by day, week by week, moment by moment. And it's a partnership. In Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Yeah, so that's a process that we go through. I mean, if how many of you ever went on a diet? What is the first thing you do? Stop eating. No, you don't stop eating. When you go on a diet, this is the first thing you got to do. All right? And it's not pleasant. First thing you do when you go on a diet, go stand on a scale. And then measure yourselves where you don't want to be measured. Why are we going to do that? Because we want to know if we're going to make progress. Right? Because if you start a diet without measuring or standing on the scale, you could lose 20, 30 pounds and like, how did I lose? How much did I lose? I don't know. Because I don't know where we started. Right? We need to know our starting point so we can get an accurate picture of what reality is. Reality is, for me, according to my height and my weight, I'm still overweight. The chart in the doctor's office is wrong, I think. You ever read those charts? According to my weight, I need to be like 5'8 to be my weight, and I lost weight. It's not fair. That's why Paul begins by saying, put off your old self. Many people believe, yeah, sin begins with sight. We see things, and then it becomes a thought. And then, it enters our heart. And then we're in trouble, man. I tell you, serious trouble. But, we cannot go through life with blinders on. I think people drive like that, though. Don't you agree? None of you here, but all those guys out there. All those guys in the Walmart parking lot and all those guys driving this way in the afternoon and all those guys driving that way in the morning. No, but we cannot go through life blindfolded so that we do not see things that might cause us to be tempted. You know, we cannot like, okay, now I'm not going to look at that pretty lady who just walked past me. When I go into Home Depot, okay, I'm not going to look at those. I'm not going to go down that tool aisle. I'm going to close my eyes and walk past the tools. I'll be bumping into everything. I'll be making trouble. So because we cannot go through life with blinders on, what is the next thing we can do? Control our thoughts. What would Jesus think? What a great idea. If we can, because we cannot control what comes in front of us, but we can control what we dwell on. Amen? The transformation of your mind. Ephesians 4, 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Okay. You know, we and some of the guys who have been around and not always have been really good, and you know what I mean. Because we're out here in the district of Pune, we joke around a lot. And we say, oh, you cannot use these words. When we go in the morning, hey, we got to get ice for the water cooler. Oh, you cannot say ice, my wind puna. when we need something from the back, hey, go get the pot from the back. Hey, you cannot say pot, you in puna. when we talk about the Bible and somebody getting stoned, oh, you cannot say that, we in puna. Yeah, you know what? Are you guys laughing because you guys know? You guys been there. You guys done that. Yeah, and so we use the kind of words. And, you know, we try to let the Spirit renew our thoughts. When we decide to accept Jesus' gifts of salvation, it's a one-time decision, but it's also a daily conscious commitment. We are not to be driven by desire or impulse. I mean, I truly have a deep desire to go fishing. The guys know that. But yet I have other things that I have to do or I get to do. So I was looking at my schedule and I was thinking like, wow, I might not get to go fishing until June or July. And I was thinking like, phew, that's all right. It's okay. Yeah, you thought I only work 2 hours on Sunday, huh? I work 1 hour on Monday too. Yeah, fake you out. But we cannot be driven by desire and impulse. I love to do certain things, but I really need to make sure that everything is in order. My study, my wife, and then everything else. Right? And it's the way that I get to think now is different. The old versus new. Thinking, the old thing, the new for thinking versus the old thinking. So number one, we gotta think progress. Not perfection. Probably. In Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. In this verse, in Philippians 3, the idea that I am not there yet. I want to be there. And that's the end goal. I want to be, you know, when they say perfect, I don't think they mean perfect because nobody can be perfect. But I think they probably mean like more complete, more whole, more mature. You know, I tell you, sometimes I can be the most immature person here. Ask my wife, ask my children. And that's the end goal. The important thing to grasp is perhaps you're not happy unless things are complete. And when they're not, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. I want to quit. Maybe you made a commitment that included the phrase, never again. Never again will I yell at my children. Never again will I drink when I'm stressed out. Or maybe never again, because when I stress out, I used to quit smoking. Every week when I used to smoke. And as soon as I stressed out, I run to the store. Oh, sorry, not Ladis, Ladis. Yeah, I run to the store and I go, those of you who smoke, you know that feeling. As soon as you fight, you run to the store. Yeah, never again will I do that because I'm stressed out. Never again will I go to the store and buy things on credit that I cannot pay later on. You know, we have to think progress, not perfection. We got to think, hey, am I making some progress in the way I yelled at the kids once but not every day? Hey, I'm making progress. Don't worry about the perfection part, but I'm making progress. Amen. Thinking, number two, thinking future, not past. Philippians 3:13-14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Paul writes here that we got to leave the past in the past and move forward towards what's ahead. I mean, you may have an invisible anchor or chain tying you to your past, keeping you from moving forward. You keep reminding yourself maybe, oh, I blew it. And you hang on to it. Let it go. Maybe your marriage failed in the past. Maybe you failed as a parent or an addiction. And you did damage to someone you love. Here's the good news. That chain Remember last week? He's a chain breaker, our youth. That chain has been broken. If you said yes to Jesus, what he did on that cross, buried your past, gave you a clean slate. Jesus already paid the price. So there is no reason for you to try and pay that price. Think future. What is Jesus molding me into? Like that caterpillar or that polywog? What future, man? I'm going to be able to get out of this water and I'm going to be hopping around and I'll be eating some bugs. Right? Think the butterfly. I'm not going to be stuck crawling on this branch. I'll be flying in the air, soaring above everything else. Thinking future, not past, not where I was chained down because of my sin. Number three, and this is my favorite. Think application, not information. James, not the James that makes our coffee, but James, the half-brother of Jesus. Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. You know, the tendency of some Christians, maturity comes when I know everything the Bible says. Inside and out, back, forward, top to bottom, bottom to top. I can recite the books of the Bible backwards, forwards, inside down, upside down. I can tell you the prophets, the gospels, you know, the history books. Growth, not by knowledge. Of course, knowledge helps. And sometimes we assume we're growing if we know more about the Bible. Biblical knowledge is very important. If we apply what we know, right? I mean, I got paint to paint my house. It's in the can. It's not doing any good in the can, right? Yeah, I got paint. But until I apply it, it's going to get old and then useless, right? Application is what we need. If you know a lot but don't live it, maybe you're deceiving yourself. The deepest Christians aren't those who know every theological answer, but those who humbly arrange their lives around the Word of God. Sometimes people say, I'm not getting fed. John 4:34. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Now that's another sermon. Now, so we need to stop assuming that we're going to grow if we ingest lots of Bible. Like, man, I got to know this. I got to know that. I got to know this. Yeah, it's good to know, but I think it's more important to do. And if you can find one scripture and do it, man, you're better than the other person who knows 10 scriptures who don't do nothing. Amen? I mean, I've been doing church for 17 years, and I've been coming to church early in the morning for 14 years, and I love it. I love getting up 5 o'clock Sunday mornings and getting here early when the sun is coming up and setting up chairs and, you know, helping with the sound systems and stuff. It is so peaceful. It is so wonderful just to fellowship with the guys who come. So we got to understand that we need to start making it a priority for us to live the Bible. Amen? Number four, think training, not trying. We want to become more like Jesus. Part of it is not sinning when we're tempted and doing good when we have the opportunity. How do we do that? Most Christians would say we need to try harder. We can try harder, but man, it's not about trying. It's about training and then doing. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Do you realize that in a race, everyone runs, and I come in last place, but only one person gets the prize? And I never won first place in one of those running races. Wonder why. I think my legs are too short. They need to have a race with 5 feet three and under people, maybe. 5 feet three and under and over 53 and a half. I still would lose. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. That's my thing. I'm not disciplined in my physical training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. You know, when we ask you to read the Bible with us, do our daily devotions, that's training. Because you read every day, you gain, you learn, you do. I mean, it would not make any sense to start training the day you get your trial, the day your problem comes. Then it's like, oh, Lord, I need some training. Where is it? Where can I find it? Kind of too late, right? You're not going to go train for a track meet the day of the track meet. That would not make sense. You start training months and years before. So we got to think, training, not trying. You know, training every day, daily devotions. That's why we ask you to join us every week to be in church for worship, in Bible study, to come and join us in the 8 o'clock class, to serve, to take time to pray, to read, because that's how you grow. That's how you train. Train to be more like Jesus. When we do that kind of training, it really helps us to think more like Jesus. Amen? And our last one, number five, think God's power, not my power. Oh, my power is like nothing compared to God's power. You ever try to do something on your own and fail? Only a few honest ones here. The rest of you stay after church and we can talk about that. Think God's power, not my power. Ephesians 1, 19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. God's power is so awesome, so amazing. 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need. No excuse now. He has given us everything we need. Okay, need now, not one. That's why we don't have, like, you know, 100 Mercedes-Benz out there. We only got a couple. Yeah. Everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. You see, relying on our own power will not lead to a transformed life. I think if you rely on your own power, it will just lead to frustration and misery. And in a few weeks, you will not be here. You'll be at home watching ESPN and eating some pancakes. Or maybe you might be shopping at the mall, checking out all those craft fairs. And that's what happens when we rely on our own power. But when we rely on God's power to transform us, the Bible tells us that we'll be made holy. God transforms you through his power. Amen? And God wants to change you. He wants to take your anxious personality and give you peace. He wants to take your bitterness, turn it into kindness. Your lust into genuine love and respect. Your mean streak into goodness. God is in the transformation business. Starts with you receiving Him. And then in your thinking. And everything throughout the day, throughout the week, wherever you go, whatever you do, what would Jesus think? And try to align your thoughts with Him. You know, when somebody cuts you off, they are all the time, man. What would Jesus think? Tailgate this guy all the way home? No! No. Go in front of him and slow down? No! That's what the devil would think. And sometimes I think like the devil. It's so bad. When somebody steals your parking stall, flat his tires. No! Pray for them. That's what Jesus would think, right? Bless them. That's what Jesus would think. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above. Okay, not the ceiling fans, all right? Higher than that. Not on the things that are on the earth. Set our minds on things above. What would Jesus think? Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. See, transformation, partnering with God, being made new in the attitude of your mind. Why do we love transformation? I think because it shows God's power in our lives. Because we are not fully who God made us to be. Not yet. But He is going to get us there. And Paul describes that to us in Philippians 1:6. I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes back. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Maybe you need that transformation of your mind. And the first thing that we need to do in order for that to happen, is we need to give Jesus permission, because Jesus is not one to just barge in, but we need to invite Him in. So I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. And I'm not going to tell you you have to call 1-800, ask Jesus. It's done by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to You. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person You want me to be. I receive You, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? God bless you back there. You may put your hands out. Lord, You have seen the hands. And they have invited You into their lives. They're justified. Now, Lord, we pray that You would start the sanctification process. Day by day, minute by minute, week by week, month by month, year by year. That You would transform them. Start with their mind. Help them to think of heavenly things, not earthly things. Set their minds on things above, as well the rest of us, Lord. Set our minds on things above. We thank You, Lord. We love You. We honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord thanks. Praise you, Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Ke'au, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.